And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God." I thought to myself this week as I planned the message, I thought, if I could just preach those few minutes, what would I preach on? What would be the greatest thing? And you know, we look for, Paul said, "I don't want to preach with wisdom of men's words because it makes the cross of none effect." And he said, it's just the preaching of the cross. And I thought, man, that's what we just need. Just I often look for deep things of God and try to find the right way to express myself and try to find the right way to preach. But it is the cross that we need. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed. That's what we need this morning. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd take these few minutes. Bless the Jim Brady Trio for being with us. I have felt the Spirit of God as they sang. I believe they're real. And Father, I pray now that you'd just take the message and that you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for the precious cross. Lord, I pray for just these few moments that you'd let us experience, Lord, the cross of Calvary, where our sin, oh God, was paid for, where your precious blood was shed for us that we might have life, that we could enter into this church this morning and feel the Spirit of God, that we could feel the joy and the fellowship, Lord, of the sufferings of Christ, but yet know that he's been resurrected and his presence is here with us. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Help us to preach it. Help us to get out of the way. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted this morning. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You can listen to modern day preachers and they avoid the subject of the cross. They don't want to touch on the blood. Modern pastors seem to try to skirt the issue about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me, friend. That's why the power of God is missing in the church today. There's been some strange manifestations in the church today. But you hear me, when the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and the blood of Jesus Christ is preached, there's only one spirit that can be manifested and brought forth, and that is the Spirit of the living God. I get afraid, friend, when I see churches who skirt the issue of the cross, who dodge the issue of the blood, who won't mention the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet there's some spirit moving in there that causes them to do strange things. Friend, I'm afraid of churches like that. Jesus Christ went to the cross. That was his purpose. He was nailed on the cross. That was his passion. He suffered on the cross. That was his penalty. He died on the cross. That was the payment for our sin. And he was slain from the foundation of the world. That was God's plan. But I'm going to give you four quick points this morning. Number one, the cross. Because of the cross is the title of the message. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, the scriptures were fulfilled. From the time that God created planet Earth, he knew that man would fall. He knew that man would need a salvation. He knew that man would need a Savior. God had made man in his own image. But you hear me, there was one who was fallen. His name was Satan, and he desired to remake man in his own image. He desired to remake man rebellious toward God, and Satan desired to remake man a disobedient servant of God, and he was successful. He got into the serpent, and the serpent tempted Eve, and Eve tempted her husband, and man, because of sin, fell from the fellowship and the relationship that he once had with God. But before you get out of Genesis chapter 3, you find that God already had a plan for mankind. He had a plan that man could be washed from his sin and cleansed from all of his iniquity. Thank God. Before you get out of Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that God said of that serpent, and he was prophesying down the road of Satan. He said, "Thou shalt bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head." Satan was allowed at the cross of Calvary. That's what we're preaching on. At the cross of Calvary, Satan was allowed to bite the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to inject him with the poison of sin that would eventually take his life and slay him on the cross where his blood was shed. The Lord Jesus Christ was injected with the poison of my sin and your sin. And yet it was on the cross where he stomped the head of Satan, when he died for our sin, when he shed his blood that he might be able to forgive us. It was there that victory was won. We sing the song, "Victory was won at Calvary." I'm telling you, friend, it was at the cross that the head of Satan has been bruised for all of eternity. Thank God. The cross is where the power of God is. Yes, friend, number one, the scriptures were fulfilled. Isaiah said in Isaiah 56, "I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my cheeks to them who plucked out the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting." Oh, you hear me this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ was not a draft dodger. When God said, "I'm going to have to send my son to down a cross," he was willing. He went to the cross obedient to his Father. Oh, hear me. He didn't hide. He didn't run, but he gave his life for me and you. I feel the power of God this morning. For God so loved that he gave. Thank God we've been given a salvation. It's a free salvation. It's one that we can just reach and take a hold of if we'll but look to the cross. That's why we should not bypass the cross. Oh, friend, you hear me this morning. If you're bypassing the cross, you're headed for a devil's hell. If you're bypassing the cross, you're missing God's complete plan for your life. The scripture will fulfill. Let me give you Isaiah 53:5. "He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I can just see as they beat him, as they mocked him, as they striped him. And the Bible does not say by his stripes we're healed. It says with his stripes we are healed. Hey friend, that's not physical healing. Physical healing was not in the atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ already had the power to heal physically, but he had to die to have the power and authority to heal spiritually. I'm glad this morning that when those stripes went across his back and those nails pierced his hands and feet, friend, that blood was shed for me. It was his stripes that healed me. With his stripes, dear friend, we are healed. Let me give you another verse of scripture. Psalm 22:16, "For dogs have compassed me about. For the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and they pierced my feet." That was written in Psalm 22. That was about 1,044 years before Jesus Christ ever came into the world. The scriptures had to be fulfilled by the Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture has fulfilled itself, friend. And Jesus, after his resurrection, was walking on the road to Emmaus, and he found two folks, and he said to them, "Oh, fools and slow of heart, all to believe that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, who have suffered these things, to enter into his glory?" And beginning from Moses, listen, beginning from Moses and the prophets, the Bible says he began to expound to them all the scriptures concerning himself. He began to open their eyes that God had given us in the Old Testament. There would be a Savior, praise God. Amen. Number one, the scripture was fulfilled. Number two, I'm going quickly. The sacrifice was made. You hear me this morning. This is a bloody book. The Bible says that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Atonement this morning for your soul is in none other than the blood. And one specific blood, it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the blood in the Exodus when God would judge Egypt. And the folks were trying to be passed over and trying to avoid the judgment of God. And God gave them instructions. He said, "I'll pass over you. I won't bring judgment into your house if you'll just take a lamb and slay that lamb and dip some hyssop." Listen to me carefully. Dip some hyssop in that blood, and if you'll go out and strike it on the doorposts and on the lintels of your house with that hyssop, I'll pass over you. The judgment of God can't come into your house. And oh, friend, they were obedient to the call of God and to the command of God, and they did just that. But you hear me this morning, if they would have went out of their house and they would have put the receipt that they donated down to their favorite charity, if they would have nailed that receipt to the doorpost or to the lintel, the judgment of God would have still gone in that house. If they would have put the symbol of their lodge on the doorpost or the lintel of that house, friend, the judgment of God would have still gone in that house. If they would have flown the Baptist flag and let the wind carry it up and say, look at me, the judgment of God would have went in that house. But friend, when they took the blood makes atonement for the soul. They took the blood and struck it over. The death angel moved through Egypt, and when he said, I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Thank God when we bring that to modern day. The Lamb of God has given His life. He shed His blood on the cross, and He'll cleanse you this morning, friend, in His precious blood. If you'll just claim His blood over your sin, the judgment of God will pass over you. Praise God. And God will say, I see the blood. I'll pass over you. Thank God. The blood's been applied to my soul. Oh, listen, nothing's changed. People still try to put things up and say, look at me, God, I'm worthy of your salvation. Oh, but you hear me, the person who gets genuinely saved gets under conviction of sin. You hear me, you have to settle the sin question before you get saved. You can have all the faith in the world, but the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Oh, you hear me this morning, it takes conviction of sin to know you're a sinner and to say, I need to settle this with God. God made it so simple that even a little child can understand. Oh, He made the right sacrifice. Modern religion tries to avoid it. They try to craftily skirt the issue of the suffering Savior. Oh, but you hear me. It was yonder on the crimson red, blood-drenched slopes of Calvary that our Savior stretched forth His hands and said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says, committed His hands, His life into the hands of God, and there God accepted His substitute for our sin. Thank God. For those who believe the Word of God, the blood has been applied. It's the blood that makes atonement for our soul. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, if a preacher does not proclaim the blood for the atonement for the soul, he's guilty of the blood of his listeners. Oh, friend, I'm afraid that all across America this morning and all across the world today, there are men in pulpits that are guilty of the blood of their listeners. They're afraid to preach the cross. Oh, they want to preach. They want to embellish it. They want to make it look pretty. They want to paint it. They want to decorate it. But hey, friend, there's nothing pretty about the cross, about a man being nailed and dying and bleeding and suffering. And he said his bones stood and stared up at him. There's nothing pretty about that. It's the suffering Savior. And the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. So number one, we find that the Scriptures were fulfilled. Number two, we find that the sacrifice was made. Number three, we find that sin was defeated. I'm glad to report to you this morning that sin was defeated on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, and no, not one. It's the preaching of the cross. Listen to me, friend. That's the power of God. It's the preaching of the cross that'll keep people out of hell. No, it's not pretty. No, there are people who don't want to hear it, but it's the preaching of the cross that'll save your soul. Because of the cross, we can be forgiven. Because of the blood, we can have mercy. Because of the sacrifice, we can have a right relationship with God. Because of His suffering, we can be set free. Thank God for the freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking the other day, I turned on the TV and there was, listen to me, I would be kind, but there was a homosexual pastor. And I thought, how in the world could anybody even claim to be a pastor and be publicly homosexual? I thought, the Bible says that we ought to be careful not to trod on the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a strict warning that goes along with that. And I just thought to myself, as he professed to be that kind of, live that kind of lifestyle and be a pastor, and he said, Christianity is evolving. I'm sorry, but I wanted to throw up. Christianity's not evolving. That was the lie of the devil in the garden. You can evolve. You can be more like God. You can have this. Hey, this book has not changed. Amen. Sin was sin 1,000 years ago, and God has not changed His mind about sin. The gospel does not evolve. The Bible says in Proverbs 36, don't change His word, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The cross, you hear me, the cross was made not so we could live sinfully, but so we could be free from sin. The cross does not give us permission to live a liberal life and practice our desires. The cross changes us from the inside out, makes us a new creature, gives us new desires. And oh, listen, the cross was the defeat of sin. Has sin been defeated in your life? The cross is God making bare His arm. The cross is God picking up the sword. The cross is God slaying the sin of the world. Oh, it's the cross that destroys the authority of flesh in our life. It's Calvary where we win the victory. And lastly, I'll give you this. Number one, the scriptures were fulfilled. The sacrifice was made. I love the Lord, don't you? Thank God for the sacrifice. Sin was defeated. Salvation was complete. You can walk out in the sun today, church, and enjoy the blessings of God because the Savior's already died. You can enjoy the blessings of God because the Savior's already risen. Thank God. We don't need to add to the cross. Listen to me carefully. If you add anything to the cross, you have a cult. If you take away anything from the cross, you have a cult. The cross is sublimely simple. To adorn the cross is to desecrate it. To embellish it and make it a pretty thing is to take away from its real meaning. The cross doesn't need to be embellished to appeal to our intellect. It needs to be preached to appeal to our heart. The intellect says, I don't want that bloody gospel. I've been higher born. I've been higher bred. I've been educated in the best schools in America. I don't need it. Jesus said it. If you don't enter into the kingdom of God like a little child, you won't enter in at all. It's those who realize, oh God, I'm a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Is there a way, Lord, that you can cleanse me of my sin? And God thunders from the heavens, yes, there's a way I can cleanse you. Go to the cross of Calvary. Gaze upon the suffering Savior. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your eyes on what I've already done for the world, and you can be saved. Thank God. Oh, listen, I close the message. See Him this morning. Let's get a glimpse of Jesus. See Him who bore our sin. See Him who bore our sorrow. Sometimes I look at the cross and it breaks my heart to think that the precious Son of God, the most perfect gift that God had ever given this earth, was nailed, beaten, spit upon, willfully gave His life, crown of thorns on His head, thorn in His side, nails in His hands and feet, beaten, Isaiah said, until we couldn't even recognize Him as a man. Nobody can portray that in the movies. Oh, they can show a bloody body, but you hear me, He was so beaten, you didn't even know it was just a piece of meat hanging there. That's what He did for me. That's what He did for you.
Oh, let us not. I know the Bible's full of wisdom, and the Bible's full of good preaching, and the Bible's full of instruction. But oh, friend, don't bypass the cross this morning. It's the basis of the Word of God. It's the cross. It's the blood.